Hey, welcome everybody to the Ramban. We're going to take a look tonight at a Ramban in Parshas Bechukosai. Last night we saw a Ramban Parshas Behar. This evening, given the double Parsha, we'll do one in Parshas Bechukosai. A very very famous Ramban. Again, the definition of a famous Ramban is one that we know. But so hopefully after tonight, everyone will know this Ramban will be a famous Ramban. Parshas Bechukosai, as we know, is characterized overwhelmingly by the tochecha, the difficult admonition, which takes up most of the parsha, in which the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Klal Yisrael, if you don't accept the terms of Torah, v'im lo sishma'uli, so then terrible things are going to come upon Klal Yisrael, and predicts ultimately the galus, the exile of Klal Yisrael. The Ramban, in Perek Chavov, Pasuk Tes Zayin, a few lines into the passage there in the Ramban, writes the following very important idea about the Tochecha. Says the Ramban, V'daveh hovein, you should know and understand, ki ha'olos ha'ela yirmos legolos rishon. All of these curses which we find in Parshas Bechukosai speak specifically of the first galus, the galus that came about when the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Ki babayis harishon hayu kol divrei abris hazos hagalus vagulo mimenu. Because if we read the psukim carefully, we'll see that the prediction of the galus and the prediction of the redemption from the galus are all specifically targeted towards the destruction of the Bayis Rishon, the first Beis Hamikdash, and the return from Bavel and the rebuilding of the second Beis Hamikdash. So, for instance, Shekein Tihir B'Tochachal She'omer, V'im B'chukosai Tim Osu, V'im Es Mishpatai Tigal Nafshechem, V'omer Lahafrechem Es Brisi, V'hiskir Bohem Bomos V'chamonim V'gilulim. So there are a bunch of psukim, says the Ramban, in this Tochacha, that seem to speak of the Jewish people sinning by committing acts of avodah zara, of idolatry. And one pasuk in particular that he calls our attention to is pasuk lamed, where pasuk lamed says, "Vishmanati es bamosechem, I will destroy your high altars. Vichrati es chamonechem, I will cut down the places where you worship the sun. Vinosati es pigrechem al pigre gilulechem." And I will place your corpses on tops of the corpses, so to speak, of your idols. So the direct references to idols which the Jewish people are worshipping. And the Ramban seems to understand that there are other psukim in the beginning of the Tochacha as well that, although they're less explicit, seem to be understood in terms of Avodah Zarah as well. V'imuchukosai tim asu, if you despise my laws, mishpotai tigal nafshechem, you are disgusted with my statutes, the hafrichem is brisi, and you break my covenant. The Ramban understands that that all of those psukim are referring to Avodah Zarah specifically. Ki hayu of the Avodah Zarah v'osim kol aros. Indeed, the Jews during the first Beis Hamikdash period worshipped Avodah Zarah and violated the major Averos in the Torah. We know Chazal tell us famously in the Gemara in Yuma that the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because the Jews there engaged in the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayas, and Shrichus Damim. So the Ramban understands, here you have references to Avodah Zarah, and you also have references to widespread neglect of mitzvos. Tim asu tigal nafshichem. You despise the mitzvos. You can't stand the mishpatim, the statutes. The Ramban understands that that must be speaking about a failure to observe the basic tenets of Judaism that are summed up in Gili Arayis, Shrichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Yehu she'amar v'ashimosi es mikdasheichem v'lo ariach b'reach nichocheichem. Later on, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the Torah says, in this Tochecha, I will destroy your Mikdashim, I will destroy your Batei Mikdash, I will no longer smell the sweet smell of your sacrifices. So what that means, Shehisra bohem lasalik mehem mikdasho, v'kibu ha-karbono shi'il ratzon lo b'mikdashahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatened that if the Jewish people would not observe Torah, he would take away the Beis HaMikdash, and he would no longer accept the Karbonos. Va'onshim aleim cherev v'chayorah v'adev v'rav v'golos basof, where the Torah speaks of the various punishments of the Jewish people, the sword, terrible beasts, destructive beasts, pestilence, famine, golos, ki chol zeh hayasham kasher ba befeish b'sefer Yirmiyahu. All of these things came about when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, as Yirmiyahu will speak about. Now, something we'll have to come back to is that the Ramban is going to say that the Parshas B'chukosai, the Tochacha B'chukosai, is not talking about the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Seemingly, all of the things which he just described, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the fact that the Karbonos are not going to be accepted anymore, the various punishments that will come, Golos, Cherev, Dever, etc. Seemingly, those are all things that applied in Bayis Sheni as well, so we'll have to see why the Ramban thinks that those are only relevant to the destruction of Bayis Rishon. For Omar Bagolos, Oz Tirtse Haaretz is Shabsoseha, Shahayu Shnos Hagolos Kishonim Asher Bitlu Ashmitos. Another indication that this Tochacha is speaking about the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash specifically is because the Torah repeatedly speaks in this Tochacha, as we saw last night, about the land making up the amount of time that the Jews failed to keep Shemitah. The Jews failed to keep the laws of Shemitah, so they were punished by being exiled from the land in a way that would correspond to the number of Shemitahs which they did not keep. And this way the land will make good on the years of Shemitah which are owed to it. That idea, says the Ramban, is specifically relevant to the destruction of the Bayis Rishon. It is not relevant to the destruction of the Bayis Sheni. And for proof to that idea, he continues by quoting a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, V'chein omer akosuv bagalos ahu, l'malos dva Hashem b'fir Yirmiyahu, ad ratsi sahares eshab soseho, kol yimei ha'shama shavisa, l'malos shivim shana. The pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Beis, Lamed Beis, pasuk Chaf Aleph, explains how when the Jews went into Galus after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Galus lasted a number of years that corresponded to the number of Shemitos which were not kept by the Jewish people when they were in Eretz Yisrael, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had warned the people through the mouth of Yirmiyahu. We know that the Galus of Bavel lasted for 70 years. That 70 years corresponds to the number of Shemitin which were not kept while the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael. And however, you figure out that Cheshbon. However, that concept that the land has to lie fallow and the land will be devoid of Jews for a number of years that correspond to the failure of the Jewish people to keep Shemitah does not describe the destruction of the Bayis Sheni. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Jews went into Galus for 2,000 plus years. So there weren't 2,000 years of Shemitos, which were neglected by the Jewish people. So that the emphasis on that idea, says the Ramban, seems to indicate, again, that this Tochacha is oriented towards the destruction of Bayis Rishon. V'istakil od v'inyin ha'gula mimenu. Another indication that the Tochacha here in Vayikra is focused on the destruction of the Bayis Rishon takes place, it can be seen at the end of the Tochacha, when the Tochacha describes the redemption that will take place after the Jews go into Galus. She'eno maftiach rak sheyizkor bris avos uvizchiras ha'orevs lo sheyimchol avonu v'yislach hatosam v'yosev avosam kekedem. If you take a look at the end of the Tochacha, the happy ending at the end of the Tochacha is kind of muted. At the end of the Tochacha, it says v'zochart pasuk memhei v'zochart yilam bris rishonim asher otzeisi yosom eretz mitzrayim le'enei agoyim li'os lahem le'elokim ani Hashem. I will remember the covenant I made with the ancestors of the Jewish people, and you know I will basically do good by the Jewish people. But there are a number of things that are missing, and when we contrast the Tochacha here, the end of the Tochacha here, with the end of the Tochacha in Kisavo, as much as the Tochacha in Kisavo is much stronger and much longer, the the end of the Tochacha and Kisavo promises much more substantive kinds of things. Again, in Dvarim, Perek Chav Ches, after the Tochacha, in Perek Chav Ches, the Ramban understands that the Parshas HaTshuva, which takes place in, which is described in Perek Lamed of Sefer Devarim, is a continuation of the Tochacha. And here and there we are told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shav Hashem Elokecha shvus chavrichamecha, Hashem will bring back those who were exiled. Kodesh Baruch will bring the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. They will inhabit it. Even greater things will happen to you than happened to your forefathers. And those promises, or anything like them, are notably absent in the Tochacha in Parshas B'chukosai. And it just says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remember us. It doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive us. It doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to renew the love that He had for us. Again, if we could just ask everyone to mute their phones, just star 6. It doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to love us the way He loved us once upon a time. V'lo she'yesof es nitcheyem. It doesn't talk about any concept of kibbutz galuyos, of gathering the Jews back in Eretz Yisrael, here in B'chukosai. Ki hoya kein balosam yibavel, we know that when the Jews came back from Bavel, there was not a massive kibbutz galuyos, there was not a massive ingathering of the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. There was only the Shvatim of Yehuda, Binyamin, and a little bit of Levi, who came back to Eretz Yisrael. So the description at the end of the Tochacha and B'chukosai, where basically Hashem says, yeah, I'll remember you, but it's not going to be, you know, an overwhelming ge'ula, it's going to be a limited ge'ula, is consistent with what actually took place. Furthermore, the psukim here in B'chukosai never describe the Jews really repenting when they come back to Eretz Yisrael. It says, later on in Pasuk Mem, V'svadu es'avonam es'avon avosam, they will confess their sins and the sins of their forefathers, and indeed, the Ramban goes on to say, we find that Doniel and Ezra and Nehemiah confess not only the sins of the Jewish people at that time, but they confess the sins of the Jewish people of their forefathers, so we find that concept. But again, Vidui, confession of sins, and tshuva are not synonymous. Vidui is a part of the tshuva process. But whereas, again, according to the Ramban, whereas the Jews confessed the sins that they had committed, but they did not really engage in tshuva fully when they came back to Eretz Yisrael. So, kol eiler hadvarim brurim b'ris hazos, it seems clear from all of these reasons, that the psukim here in B'chukosai are only talking about the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and when the Jews are redeemed from it, i.e. when they come back to Eretz Yisrael under the reign of Ezra. Again, if we could just ask everyone to mute their phones by just pressing star 6, that would be very, very helpful. The noise is coming through. If we could ask everyone just to mute their phones by pressing star 6. Aval habris shebemishna Torah yirmos legaluseinu zeh v'legeula shenigal mimenu. In contrast, the Tochacha described in Mishnah Torah, in Dvarim, Parshas Kisavo, that hints at the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, and the follow-up Parsha, known as Nitzavim, Parshas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, which describes how the Jews are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, that is describing the ultimate Geula, the ultimate redemption that will take place, you know, from the Golus in which we find ourselves. Ki histakalnu tchila shelo nirma sham keitz v'ketzef. So first of all, In contrast to the part to the Tochachon B'chukosai, where it talks about the land having to lie fallow to make up for the missing Shemitah years that the Jews failed to observe, which gives a certain time frame for the Galus, the Tochachon Kisavo mentions no such thing, and the sense that you get is that because of that, the Tochachon Kisavo is described in an open-ended galus, not one that's only going to last as long as needs to be in order to compensate for the missed shmitos, but an open-ended galus. Raktola osa b'tshuva, and indeed the end of the galus, which is described in Parshas Kisavo, is only described as coming to an end when the Jewish people do tshuva. Again, this is the Ramban linking Perek Lamed in Devarim to the Tochacha, which is there. There in Parshas Kisavo, there's no reference to the Jews worshipping Avodah Zarah. Again, we know Avodah Zarah wasn't really a problem in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. It was a problem in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. But by the second Beis HaMikdash, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination for Avodah Zarah, had been taken away already. Aval Omer v'hoya im lo sishma b'kol Hashem elokecha lishmor v'lasos is kol mitzvoso v'chukosov. There, in Parshas Kisavo, the Galus is blamed on the fact that we don't listen to the voice of Hashem to keep his mitzvos. That is to say, kimipnei shiyavru atzas mitzvosov, shlo yishmu v'yasu es kulon yeyonshu. The Ramban is an interesting reading of Parshas Kisavo. There it says, why are you going to be exiled? Because you didn't follow through and observe kol mitzvosov v'chukosov, all of God's mitzvos and his statutes. The implication is, says the Ramban, you were observant of many mitzvos, but since you didn't buy into the package in its totality, in other words, there were gaps in your mitzvah observance. There wasn't a wholesale abandonment of mitzvah observance, but there were gaps in your mitzvah observance. So because of that, the galus came about. And contrast that with what's being described in Parshas B'chukosai, says the Ramban. We hear it talks about Avodah Zarah. Here it talks about despising the mitzvos. It says talks about not walking in the path of the mitzvos, which seems to imply that the major mitzvos have been ignored in Parshas B'chukosai. It talks about severing the covenant with Hashem. Again, the scope of the ignoring of mitzvos and the failure to carry out mitzvos in Parshas B'chukosai is a much greater scope than that described in Parshas Kisavo. And says the Ramban, as we know famously from the Gemara in Masechet Yuma, that does characterize the difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. The Ramban quotes the Gemara in Yuma, which most of us know, but he quotes a part of it that many of us may not be familiar with. The Gemara in Yuma says the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sin aschinim, because of causeless hatred. The Gemara there in Yuma also makes the point that during the second Beis HaMikdash, the Jews were oskim b'Torah over gemilas chasadim. During the second Beis HaMikdash, the Jews were involved in Torah study and in acts of kindness. So in other words, overwhelmingly they were observant. The thing was, their sinas chinam, their hatred for one another, was such a glaring hole in their mitzvah observance that it brought down the whole second Beis HaMikdash. But it's not to say as if the Jews weren't observant at all. And again, the Ramban is reading that back into the psukim here versus the psukim Parshas Kisavo. Below hiskir shom hamikdash v'reach nichach kasher hiskir kan. And whereas here in Parshas B'chukosai, it says how God is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and will no longer smell the sweet smell of the karbanos. There's no mention of the Mikdash being destroyed or the Karbanos being taken away in Parshas Kisavo. Why not? I mean, after all, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Karbanos that were brought there were done away with. No. Shelo hoiso ha'ish yoredes v'yocheles ha'karbanos b'bayis sheni, k'mo she'idu b'maseches yumasham. Here the Ramban, in a few words, states a very fundamental principle. He says that true, there was a Beis HaMikdash during the there was a Beis HaMikdash that existed during the period of the Bayis Sheni. There were karbanos, but the karbanos during the Bayis Sheni period were not as fully accepted by Hashem to begin with. What do you mean by that? Well, the Gemara says in Masechta Yuma that whereas during the first Beis HaMikdash period, a heavenly fire came down and consumed the karbanos, showing that God, so to speak, was pleased with the bringing of the karbanos in the first Beis HaMikdash. During the second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara in Yuma says, that fire did not come down from heaven. It did not consume the karbanos in the second Beis HaMikdash. The people, the Kohanim, lit the fire, and the man-made fire burnt up the karbanos. There was no supernatural esh. There's no supernatural fire coming down from the heavens. So what the Ramban, again, in a few words, seems to be doing with that fact, which is stated in the Gemara in Yuma, is the following very, very fundamental idea. It's true there was a mikdash during this, during the Bayis Sheni period. But in a certain sense, it didn't really count. If the mikdash was a mikdash where the fire was not coming down from heaven and consuming the karbanos, on some level it was never really a full-fledged mikdash to begin with. So whereas the Tochacha in Bechukosai can speak of God destroying the mikdash and no longer accepting the karbanos, the Tochacha in Kisavo doesn't speak in such terms, because during the second Beis HaMikdash period, that phenomena of a Beis HaMikdash where God accepted its karbanos with love and favor didn't really exist to begin with. So it's not as if it was destroyed. It didn't exist during the second Beis HaMikdash period. It was a very lackluster Beis HaMikdash. It was pro forma a Beis HaMikdash. They brought the karbanos, but it's not. It doesn't make sense to say Vashimosi es Mikdash Eichem, that I will destroy your Beis HaMikdash, because in a certain sense the Beis HaMikdash never really existed during the Bayis Sheni period. It was always a pale shadow of what the first Beis HaMikdash had been. V'amar b'klalos, furthermore, it says there in Parshas Kisavo, Yisa Hashem alecha goy meirachok mikseh ha'ores kasher yideh haneshe. There in Kisavo it says, God is going to bring upon you a nation from far away that flies like the eagle. And indeed, that describes the Romans, where the Romans came from far away. The Babylonians were relatively close by. The Romans were based off in Italy, far from Eretz Israel. They came, they brought them, and they're described over there, says the Ramban, as a goy asher lo sishma l'shona. It's a nation whose tongue you were unfamiliar with. The Babylonians spoke Aramaic. It was a language that was fairly close to Hebrew. And the Jews spoke Aramaic even during the Bayis Rishon period, even before they were exiled by the Babylonians. In contrast, the Latin of the Romans was utterly foreign to the Jewish people. And, therefore, when the Torah speaks of a goy asher lo sishma l'shono, a nation whose tongue, whose language is unfamiliar to you, as it does in Parshas Kisavo, that better describes the Romans as opposed to the Babylonians, right? So the Ramban continues at some length. Again, I'm not going to do every single part of the Ramban, but he goes through at some length the various different psukim, in Bechukosai, in Kisavo, showing how overwhelmingly Parshas Bechukosai seems to be oriented towards the Bayis Rishon and its destruction, and overwhelmingly Parshas Kisavo is oriented towards the second Beis HaMikdash and its destruction. For that reason, writes the Ramban, V'nei Abris HaRishona Asher B'Parsha Azos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Karas Osa. It's striking that the Tochacha and Bechukosai is stated in the first person, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the speaker in Parshas Bechukosai. In Parshas Kisavo, Moshe Rabbeinu is the speaker, and he speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the third person, again, consistently throughout the two Tochachos, which already prompts Chazal in Masechta Megillah to say that the Tochacha in Bechukosai was Mipi Agvura. It came from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. And in Mishnah Torah, in Parashas Kisavo, it came, Moshe Rabbeinu Amarum. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who stated, was this narrator, the speaker, in Parashas Kisavo. So what does that mean? What's the significance of that? So says the Ramban, the fact that Bechukosai is narrated, so to speak, by Hashem, again, speaks to the fact that it's speaking about Bayis Rishon. Ki kein hayashma agadol imanu b'bayis Rishon. Hashem is speaking to us directly in Parshas Bechukosai because His Shechina was with us to a greater extent during the Bayis Rishon period. Davris Hashenish shebe Parshas v'haya kisavo v'pi Moshe. The fact that in Mishnah Torah and Parshas Kisavo, the Tochacha is given over in the third person, it's as if it's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking in the name of Hashem. Ramaz l'siluk shchinaso legamri. The Shechina, to a very large extent, was absent from the second Beis HaMikdash. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about God in the third person in Parshas Kisavo, because he's speaking about an entity which is not imminent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is not imminent in Jewish life during the Bayis Sheni period. That's what the Rabban seems to be explaining. That's what Chazal mean in the Gemara and Megillah, when they say that the Tochacha in Bechukosai was said by Hashem directly, the Tochacha in Kisavo was said by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's to signify the difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. In Bayis Sheni, God's presence was not felt to anywhere near the same extent as it was by Bayis Rishon. And the way that's indicated in the text is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was spoken about in the third person. However, there's still Kavod Shemo. There's still a certain glory of God's name which is manifest during the Bayis Sheni. And here, the Ramban has a very, very interesting drasha of his own, so to speak, in a pasuk in Chagai. When Chagai Anovi is speaking to the Jews who came back and reestablished the second Beis HaMikdash, so he sees that they're depressed, because after all, the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, does not seem to have the glory of the first. So says Chagai Anovi, Ve'erza bo v'ikavda. Don't worry. I will find favor with the second Beis HaMikdash, and I will be glorified, says Hashem, through the second Beis HaMikdash. The word v'ikavda is spelled in the Navi without the final hey. So in other words, the ksiv, the way it's written in the pasuk, would be as if it was read, ve'ekaved, I will be honored. So the truth is, the extra hey at the end of the word v'ikaved, v'ikavda, is really superfluous. There's no grammatical reason why there needs to be a hey at the end of the word v'ikaved. If anything, v'ikaved probably makes more sense than v'ikavda. So what's v'ikavda? So says the Ramban, the final hey in v'ikavda, which is pronounced but is not actually written in the text, corresponds to the last name in the last hey in the name of Hashem, the Shem Havaya. And the hey, which is not written but pronounced, speaks of a sort of subtle presence of Hashem that will be there during the second Beis HaMikdash period. But says the Ramban, it's subtle. In the end of the day, it's subtle, and that's why the hey is not written, but it's pronounced as if it was there. The presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there, but in a very, very subtle way. This Ramban, where he talks about the difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, and has reflected in the two Tochachos, is consistent with the Ramban's general approach in trying to see, again, if we could just mute the phones, we're almost done over here, if we could just put the phones on star 6, this approach is consistent with the Ramban's attempt to put history, to show the history of the later generations in the Torah itself. Again, the Ramban saw back in Parshas in Sefer Bereishis how the stories of Sefer Bereishis foreshadow later human history. We spoke about last night how the Shesh Yismei Bereishis foreshadow later human history. And here too, the Tochachas are not just generic punishments, but they describe in detail, according to the Ramban, the later history that's going to take place during the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni periods. After reading the Tochacha and experiencing in our own day and age our own version of Dever, of this plague, we should be Zocha that this Dever should go away, and that all of the difficulties associated with this gola should go away, and we should be zocha to the final geula, the behira of Yomenu. I will take a few moments, we'll say Tehillim, we'll start with Kapitel Tzari Aleph 91, and then we'll do Kuf Lamed 130. Yoshev b'seiser elyon b'tzel shaddai yislonon Mal Adonai matzium sudosi Elohai evtachlo Ki hu yatsi lecho mikach yokush midever havos Devroso yosech loch v'sachas kenofav techse Sino v'so chero amito Lo siro mipachad loilo Mechets yof yomom Midever ba'ofel yahaloch Miketev yoshud sohroyim Yipol mitzidecho elef urvava miminecho Eilecho lo yigosh Rak beinecho sabit Bishirumas rishoim tire Ki ato Adonai machzi El yom samtom yomecho Lo sunei lecho ra'o V'nega lo yikrav yo lecho Ki malochav yitzavach Lishmarcho v'chol drachecho Al kapayim yisounecho Echigov bo'ev en raglecho Al shachal v'ofesen tidroch Timoz kufir v'sanin Kivi choshak yafal teyu Asagiveyu ki yodashimi Yiko eini v'eneyu imon ofi v'tzoro Achaluseyu v'yachabideyu Orech yomi masbiyeyu V'yareyu v'yishu osi Kuf Lamed 130 Kira malos mimamakim kirosticho adonoi Adonai shimo v'koli Tiyan esnecho kashu v'ruch l'kol tachmonoi Imavonos tishmor yo Adonai miyamot Ki emecho asilicho Leman kivorei Ki visi Adonai Ki viso nafshi V'lidvoro hocholti Nafshi l'Adonai Mi shomirim l'boker Shomirim l'boker Yachel Yisrael Adonai Kim Adonai Yachesed V'arbeimo Fidus V'yivdes Yisrael Mikol Avonosav V'yishabirach V'usenu Avram Yitzchok V'yakob Moshe V'yaron Dovri Shlomo Yivarech V'yirav Yitzchok Olim Bavu shibli nedo nalus toko bavu mischarza kodesh baruch hu yimalei rachim alehem lachli mother apple song achazikon lachli yosa mishlach lohem may rofu ashlem om nasho mayim lichole varien lichol gidei vesach shor chole yisrael rifu asa nefesh urifu asa gof hashto bagolov izman koriv v'nomar amen. Es Hashem, I plan on davening at a Mayriv at 8:55. Want to wish everyone a good evening. We'll be in touch with everyone tomorrow night, at which time we'll resume Pirkei Avos. Have a good evening to all.